Welcome, you're listening to the Mantic Universe podcast. This is what we're calling episode 1.5 because we have 33 minutes left to upload this month, and we wanted to retest the sound quality, etc., before we do a big long episode next month. So I'm joined again with my good friend. And we're going to talk to you. I'm going to give a little introduction and just talk to you a little bit about some really helpful feedback we've had. And then Clem is going to talk us through his Kings of War 2300 points Night Stalkers list for the Germany GT, which is coming up. So thanks ever so much to everyone for downloading and listening to the episode. We've had some really, really useful feedback, most of which has been extremely positive. But we had some very useful feedback in terms of sound quality. So we've tried to address that as best as we could. We've sort of sought out some best practice advice. We've improved our sound system. So hopefully the sound quality this month is a lot better than last month or this 1.5 month. And if you've got any feedback for us, you can email us at manticuniversepodcast@gmail.com. Or we also now have a Facebook group, so please feel free to join that and join in the fun. We'll be posting pictures of stuff we're working on and just anything else that doesn't quite work within a podcast, because it's a very audible medium for a hobby that is extremely visual. So today we're going to be talking about Clem's Night Stalkers. So Clem, first question, what made you decide to go down the Night Stalkers route?
Well, I have to admit, it's I have to congratulate Mantic on its well-played advertisement. More seriously, it's it came from having some Night Stalker miniatures already from the Vanguard Kickstarter that I backed when it was out, like 3 years, 4 years ago now, I don't remember. And I've always liked these miniatures, and also the fact that they are quite a unique army in the tabletop universes. And also for Kings of War, they have kind of unique rules, right, with the Mind Thirst. So the fact that they don't have inspiring themselves, but they take it from the opponent, I thought was a pretty cool and kind of a different approach to the game. And also, I think on paper, they have tons of options that fit my playstyle quite well. Meaning sort of glass cannon, sort of like you have to get in and kill before you get hit back before, otherwise you die. And so, yeah, I decided to expand my, let's say, relatively small collection from Vanguard into a full 2,300 points army for the 2022 tournament season. Because I also try to stick to one army for competitive play for let's say a season, if there's such a thing. And yeah, so I hesitated longly also between Night Stalkers and Ogres, because I also do have a Mantic Ogres army, and I quite like their miniatures, and I'm super happy with my color scheme and so on. So I really like this army, but it's not quite finished yet. And even though they have really cool stuff in the latest Clash of Kings book, I played a couple of games online on UB2 with the Ogres and was like, yeah, it works well, but it's kind of boring. Like, it's not really what I want to play. Like, there's no... It's not like it's playing on easy mode, but it's kind of super straightforward. And I thought... Maybe the Night Stalker is something a bit more challenging, a bit more interesting for me. So that's what I did. Yeah, and then maybe I can go through the lists I'm working with at the moment, just to give you all a quick idea of what I'm doing here.
There you go. Clem says so, ogres are boring. On that bombshell.
No, I mean, so let me back up this affirmation. They are boring because I somehow don't really like the Siegebreakers. And I don't like Siegebreakers because they are a bit too good, I think, compared to normal warriors. And I tried very hard to build good lists without siege breakers, and I just don't see how to do it. I mean, yes, you can make lists without them, but any list with siege breakers is, in my opinion, significantly better.
And yeah, and then you feel like you're deliberately handicapping yourself by not including them. What's the name of the fast ogres? They look kind of cool. Are they hunters, I think? Like the speed 7 ones. Is that right?
Slightly faster, yes. But they're also... they're pathfinders, I think. Yeah. But they only hit on 4s, I believe.
So it's swingy.
And crushing 1. I mean, siege breakers are, as you know, melee 3.
Crush 2.
Speed 6. Crush 2. Defense 6 in the front. They're just better. Yeah. They're just better than other ogres, I think. And I think they should be slightly more expensive, or the normal warriors should be slightly cheaper, or have like some cooler option. I made a cool tray for my ogres, like for a horde of ogres, because I think it's the only unit that you can of large infantry that you can take as a horde. And I thought, wow, that's so cool. Like, it's huge on the table, but it also looks so cool. But it's just, it's not working.
Right.
I tried list with it, and I didn't manage to make it work. That's more accurate, cool. I think. So anyway, back to Night Stalkers.
So I can see you're starting your army with 2 hordes of Scarecrows.
Yeah, it's they're relatively resilient with a nerf of -21. Defense 3, of course, but I don't take it as a disadvantage for a unit like this, because I see it more as you are wasting crushing 2 from your opponents with defense 3.
Yeah, exactly. And then if they were defense 4, they cost more points, right? So at 130 points.
Exactly.
It's horrible. Exactly as you say, Clem, because a lot of armies you're going to be taking low quality but really good attacks, and it's just a nightmare if then you have to try and chew through Scarecrows with that, right? Because you're just wasting points or crushing strength and things you don't need.
Exactly, yes. And so they're basically here to score and like occupy space on my front line. At least that's how I've been playing them so far. And they're kind of insignificant, and so no one really commits too much resources to kill them in one go, and so they stay around at least 2 or even more turns.
Stealthy.
And so I think they're pretty good.
Oof,
yeah,
nasty.
Yeah, I mean, everything is stealthy. Yeah. Everything is stealthy on the list.
Yeah. Oof. For 130 points. Yeah.
Then in the list I have 2 mind screeches. They're basically a good toolbox spellcaster, in my opinion. So they have Lightning Bolt 6, Mind Fog 6, which I don't use that often. Maybe I'm wrong, but... And Wind Blast 6, which
I
love.
That's really underrated, Wind Blast. I have quite a lot of that in my Trident, in my now Eagle Trident Realm list, and Wind Blast is it's so helpful. When you can just push some infantry or cavalry out of range, and it's just great. If you can push the slow-moving infantry back... So then their cavalry is kind of stuck out, and then they're like, well, I don't want to wait for the slow stuff to catch up. And it just creates an annoying problem that your opponent didn't have before. And if you can lightning bolt them, but then you might do a couple of wounds. I'd rather just mess up my opponent's plan as early as possible. Yeah. Really cool.
Yeah, I mean, Wind Blast is very useful, in my opinion, early in the game, exactly like you described, like to just disorganize the opponent's line. Although good players can anticipate it and place the units in a way that's...
I normally do it once and then the person learns,
Yes, that's absolutely true. It also is useful toward the end of the game, right? Like, you don't need to kill a unit sometimes, you just need it to have it 1 inch away from the objective. And with some Wind Blast, that's good. Also, both of these guys have unit strength 1.
I was just going to say that's crucial, isn't it? So important.
Yes.
Yeah, with Fly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly, so they fly nimble, speed 6, so it's not very fast, but it's also not slow at all. And so late game, if they survive, and they usually do, they can also just, you know, push you across the line, so to speak, points wise for the scenario.
Yeah, really, really useful tool. So that takes us on. So you've got 2 hordes of fiends, 1 with Brew of Sharpness, classic, and one with the Potion of the Caterpillar. So you are Potion of the Caterpillar, yes. So you're 235 points. That's pretty chunky. But then, of course, with the Brewer Sharpness, taking it up to 260 points. So you were saying these things, you've got a lovely relationship with them in the last episode. They're going to have to do some work, aren't they?
Exactly.
For points.
Yeah, so the version with the Brew of Sharpness is entirely new. I haven't played them yet. They used to have the boots, and the Brew of Sharpness was on another unit in the list. But after a long chat with another Night Stalker player, he told me his advice was to use the Brew of Sharpness on the Horde of Fiends, because without it, the Fiends just don't do enough damage in a way. And that's actually one of their main issues, right? On paper, they look good. Like, speed 8 is nice. Good volume of attack, only on 4s, though. So that's kind of devastating. Like, it's very
speed
swingy.
Eight, so basically, they're the speed of heavy cavalry, right? Jet normal heavy cavalry.
Yes.
So melee 4, defense 4, height 4, unit strength 3, 24 attacks. With pretty 16, 18 is pretty good nerve. That's, you know, pretty good.
Yeah, but defense 4.
Yeah, defense 4.
So the issue is, defense 4 means they are a prime target and not so hard to kill in the end. Another issue with the Fiends is they are large cavalry, meaning the footprint of the unit is pretty large.
And which is normally a disadvantage, right?
Yes. It's usually better for punchy units to have a smaller footprint so that you can fit more in small places and go around.
Yeah.
But still, I decided that my list was using Fiends and not Reapers and not Butchers. And so that's what I'm trying to make work.
I think that's really cool.
And,
Maybe I should we're on the 260-point Worm Riders in my the new version. Yeah, maybe I just get them in there, you know. Never mind that other things are slightly better. It's my army. I just try and make it work. Yeah, I'm kind of tempted, actually, reading this. Yeah.
So far, it's been a losing proposition on my end, but I stick to it.
And you might have a game where it all goes gloriously.
My previous army, so I used to play Forces of the Abyss. I kind of had an epiphany of how to actually play it, and most importantly, how to deploy it. Game 3 of last year's GT in Cologne. So maybe this year again, after playing 2 or 3 games in the same day, I will be like, you know what? If I had deployed that way instead, my army would work way better. And then game 4, that's what I do. And then it starts to actually work like I was hoping it would.
Yeah.
So who knows?
And because of the Swiss pairings, maybe if you didn't start so well toward the end of the tournament, maybe you're up against opponents who are down there with
that's
when I clean up anyway.
Yeah, that's my move. Like
submarine
exactly. Round 1, 2, 3 and maybe up to round 4
submerge. It's just remembering to float again is the problem I have. Yeah, just keep sinking lower and lower.
Right.
Fantastic.
I mean, I enjoy the games anyway, so it's
too.
All right.
Me
it's
too.
All right.
Awesome. And then you've got Soul Flayers. You've got 3 regiments, which, and this is a really interesting proposition, right? Because this isn't chaff, but it's 165 points, which is, you know, it's getting up there, isn't it? You know, it's the cost of a good infantry regiment. And with that 13-15 nerve, but then you look at the good stuff, speed 10, melee 3, 12 attacks, crush 1, fly, thunderous charge 1, and windblast 5, which is very interesting and unexpected.
Windblast 5, exactly, that's the thing that people usually don't expect, like if they're not really used to it. And so in total, I have windblast 12 from the Mind Creatures and windblast 15 from the Soul Flayers. Meaning if I play my cards right, turn 1 or also turn 2, I can really significantly move stuff around on the table. But you're absolutely right. Like the Soul Fairies, they're really good on paper, but they're kind of in the weird category where they're slightly too expensive for chaff. They're not quite good enough to just go and take something in the front and destroy it. And they're not super durable. So
and they're not nimble.
I think they have tons of... They're not nimble. Yeah, I played them as nimble in my first game with them. Like, I was mistaken, and I apologized to my opponent after the game, because obviously I crushed him with three.
In second edition, it was... And sorry, buddy, I'm interrupting you again. Second edition, it was... I think Fly and Nimble were kind of connected. I never actually played second edition.
Maybe you're right. Yeah, I don't remember. But anyway, yeah, I was so sure of... yeah, of course they fly. Of course they're nimble, and... So he was still testing out the list on Universal Battle 2. And it did not go well for my opponent. And after the game, I realized, oops, you know what? I think I cheated pretty badly. So let's forget about this game.
But they could. Because, again, your Fiends and your Soul Flayers, they could be amazing. Or they could land flat hard, couldn't they? So I'd be so interested how that goes. I'm so excited to hear how it goes. Cool.
Yeah, it's very... It can go both ways. And I think they're pretty hard because you need to make use of all of their tools. Otherwise, they cost you too much.
But then unit strength too. So that's pretty nice on the speed 10 flying unit.
Yes. I don't think I've ever had one survive till the end of the game. But,
there is that. Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not what you're using
I think that's
for,
my
right?
main
maybe
issue with them.
That's... But then if you hold them back, maybe, you can have other issues. Interesting.
Yeah, the problem is they are scary for the opponents to some extent. And so if the opponent has any kind of shooting, they're usually pretty good targets. Also, they're 8-4, so they're very hard to hide, like, between heels or stuff like this. And they don't like to be charged even by... like average to average plus regiments of anything, basically, because then they lose fly, they are disordered, so they can't win blast.
You're getting a thunderous charge.
And in the end, exactly. 13, 15, and so at that point, it's kind of
over. Or if you got charged by just a normal regiment, right? 13, 15, defense 4, you're going to be in for a bad time, aren't you, to be honest? Cool. So I think but I think so far with your army, kind of keeping the initiative is really important, right? But it seems, and talk to me, talk to me about this when we've gone through everything, but it seems like it's a bit of a kind of like counterpunch army so far, I'd say. You've got your scarecrows, you've got your mind screeches at the back.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of, hit me in the scarecrows and I'll then, counterattack you basically with the... pretty quick fiends, obviously speed 8 fairly quick, and then speed 10 is as fast as it gets. Interesting stuff.
Yes.
Cool.
That's correct. We can discuss more about the overall strategy once we've gone through all of the list. But yes, it's the list is called Monster Mash 0.7. By the way, that's version 0.7. But it's not really a Monster Mash. Like it evolved over time, and now it's more. I think it relies more on speed, as you just said. That's exactly right. Anyway, so. To round up the list, I have a Terror, mostly because I love the model. And also, I think it's a pretty interesting support unit to have with the Scarecrows.
So this is a Titan. Shall I just read out the stats for it? So it's speed 7, melee 3, which is obviously great, no ranged attack. Defense 3, which is interesting. Height 6, unit strength 1, 10 attacks, and it's fearless 19. Crush 2, ensnare, mind thirst, regen 4 up, stealthy strider. Wow, that is for 250 points. Loads of good stuff and loads, but a few bad things there. Defense 3, but then you've got the regen 4 up. That is an interesting unit. Fearless 19. Oof.
Yeah, it's as I said. It's I've tried several things with it. It's really a support character in my opinion. It can hold flank of the scarecrows pretty well, and counterpunch exactly like you said. Like it's a good counterpuncher to anything that tries to kill the scarecrows and doesn't one shoot them. Then they will get a terror, and that's usually.
Do you see it fighting against things like butchers or ogre? Like a horde of ogres or something with that crush too. 10 really good quality attacks. You want to be punching something.
Yeah, I mean it's only 10 attacks, so you kind of struggle to do any significant damage. But usually, unless something has a good volume of attacks, you will hold it for quite a while, because defense 3 looks like, oh, it's very easy to do wounds on it.
Fearless, yeah, 19 sure, but with regen. And ensnare.
Exactly, 19 with regen 4 and ensnare, it actually lasts slightly longer
this
than
is
you
a
expect.
Unit, really. The ensnare, the regen.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but it's fearless, yeah. 19. Oh, it's really, that's really, really interesting. Yeah, yeah. And then
yeah, it's a cool, and the model is really lovely as well. So I mean,
if something hits it, and then you've got some soul flayers, and they present a flank to you, that's looking good, isn't it? Fantastic.
Yeah, it's more kind of a tar pit kind of situation, like with the two hordes of scarecrows and this guy, and while the rest of the stuff moves around and tries to get juicy flanks or get in the right position for the scenario.
Amazing. So next up, we've got a portal of a portal of despair, speed 5, melee 4, no ranged attack, defense 5, height 6 again, unit strength 1, only 3 attacks, fearless 16 for 90 points, and it's got dread and visions of the void, and visions from the droid void, which I've never heard of before. As long as this unit is present and in play on the table at the start of each of your ranged phases, you may select a single friendly core unit on the battlefield, regardless of range or line of sight. The selected unit is granted the inspiring celestial roar until the start of the next turn. Base size cannot be increased beyond that. That is really interesting. That's a really interesting unit.
Yeah, so the backstory for the Portal of Despair is I played the game with the Voidlurker, it's later in the list, so basically a dragon, and against a relatively shooty army. And my opponent got turn 1 and had range against the Voidlurker, shot on it, did I don't remember how many wounds, like a good amount of wounds, like 7 or 8 wounds. And managed to one-shot my Voidlurker with a 12 on the nerve roll. And when you're a Night Stalker, you don't have Inspiring on your own by default.
So you weren't
so the
close
Portal
enough
of Despair
to get Inspiring cannot... off of Mind Thirst, yeah.
Exactly. And so having the option to compensate for this and still get Inspiring on a critical side of the board for yourself, I find very useful. The other element that really helps a lot is Dread, because Dread is maybe not very common. It's not as common as Brutal, I think, but it's very similar, and it's in a way better, because it's a 6-inch aura that gives the equivalent of Brutal to all of your units within this
So you're just going to have this hanging around your valuable units, right? So this will be just behind the fighting, I guess, when it all kicks off.
Yeah. Yes. So I usually have this in sort of in my tar pitting center, or, you know, like the Scarecrows and the Terror, because it is also defense 5 with a pretty high nerve. And so it usually takes some time to chew through it. Like, it can actually be chaff in a way, in a weird way. Like, you know, block some positioning and so on and still survive long enough. And then when I get back into the fight from the sides or something like this with the Soul Flayers or the Fiends, the Dread is useful, yes.
And what have you got for a model for this? Because I don't think there's a Mantic official one.
You're right, there's no Mantic model for it, so I 3D printed a model that I bought on Thingiverse or my mini factory, I don't remember. It's surprisingly enough, it's a portal and it's quite large. I mean, it's on a Titan base, and
how do you communicate the despair aspect of that? Purple paint? What does despair look like to you?
So it's kind of it has a pointy shape on top and also evil looking magical swirl in the center. And yes, the paint scheme is the same for my whole army, basically. Like, I'll post pictures on it on our Facebook page for everyone to see if they want to have a look.
Cool. A Dread Fiend, which is something I'm a bit more familiar with. So this is a large cavalry hero. Speed 8, melee 3, no ranged attack. Defense 4, height 4, unit strength 1, 5 attacks, 14, 16 nerve. Crush 2, Dread, Mind Thirst, Nimble, Stealthy, Vicious Melee. All the special rules there.
Yep.
So it's a good... You know where you are with the Dread Fiend.
Yeah. I mean, it's a kind of a classic support character, right? Like nimble, relatively fast, doesn't do much in terms of attacks, but it's good enough to go and hunt war machines or, you know, keep your opponent honest and not turning his flank or rear. I think it's really like a support character. Like most armies have something sort of similar to this profile. He's only defense 4, so he is not very durable. He's also 8-4, which in a way is good because you can see over heals, but you can also be seen over heals.
14-16. I know he's stealthy, but yeah, 14-16 is danger, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the whole army is not very durable anyway, so it's just in line with this.
Very true. And then round off the list, you've got a Void Lurker. So speed 10, melee 3.
Yep.
This is a Hero Titan. No ranged attack, defense 4, height 6 again, unit strength 1, 10 attacks, 17, 19, good nerve. But it comes in at, with the Blade of Slashing, 275 points, and special rules, Crushing Strength 2, Fly, Mind Thirst, as everything has, Nimble, Regen 5, Stealthy, as everything does, Thunderous Charge 1, oof. So if you're hitting something, it can be very nasty.
Yeah, so it's a dragon, so to speak. It's slightly cheaper than average dragons, like it's 270 points base. I think mostly because he doesn't have a ranged attack and he's only defense 4. But in the end, with the regen, it survives usually pretty well. And I use him more as a threat from the flank or something like this. So far I've been quite happy with the Void Locker. I used to have it with the Brew of Sharpness, because then you actually can do significant damage. But I think the Brew of Sharpness has a better use on the Fiends. There's more volume of attack there and makes more difference. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I think that's it for the list. And then how do I deploy it? I mean, I've talked about it while describing all of the units, but I usually have a strong center, so to speak,
scarecrows,
or a strong flank Titan with the Scarecrows, the Terror, the Portal of Despair. I usually keep the Mind Screech, like Shooting Battery, on one side of this strong center. And then I usually have two Soul Flayers and the Void Lurker on one side, that's my fast flank. And on the other side, I will use both units of Fiends and a third Soul Flayer. Basically the other fast flank, and try to move as a pincher move most of the time. And that's about it. And the Dread Fiend, positioned well to go and get its target, like war machines or this kind of stuff.
Fantastic.
So yeah, that's about it for the deployment. And so far, I think I have a 50-50, to not say worse, win ratio with this list, or variations around this list. And I think the main reason is that I misuse the Soul Flayers. I usually don't like blaming dice, but I think also the Fiends really are too variable, and very often they've been just short of doing what I was expecting them to do.
We need them to do.
And
yeah,
from there.
Them to do. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
I think
that's.
I think it's going to be. Sorry, buddy. We're almost exactly at time, so we'll wrap up quickly. But I think it's going to be really fun to play. But crucially, I think it's also going to be really fun to play against, because I think you're presenting a lot of very interesting situations to your opponent to try and counter. I think you're going to be in for some fun times at the Germany GT. Cool. And Clem, is there anything you want to say just in a few words to wrap up this little mini episode?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing, a full weekend with this list and these miniatures, and you know, get to see a bit more what they can actually do when you have the opportunity to dive deeper in games with them. For me, it takes quite some repetition to really understand how a list or an army can work, and I hope to reach this with these guys next weekend, and you'll hear about it in the podcast next month anyway.
Cool. Thanks, Clem. And just, dear listener, you can email us at manticuniversepodcast@gmail.com, and you can find us on Facebook, as we said. Clem, thanks so much for taking the time. Can't wait for our next full episode. Have fun at the GT.
Me too.
Cheers,
see buddy. You next time.
Bye.
Thanks. I'm recording right now, and so we can do it now.
So, 3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1, clap. You did your clap right.
Let's try the clap again. Ready?
Yes. 3.
Yeah.
Ready?
I'm waiting for you.
So should I count?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. So, 3, 2, 1,
clap. I was way too late, but never mind. We're going with it now. Well... Yeah.
No, it's up to you. You will be
exactly.
the one.
I'm the one that has to suffer
thing afterwards. I don't mind.
Let's put a pin in that, Clem. It's a good idea.
Yeah, but yeah. So normally the trick is the 3, 2, 1 gives you both. You know, it will be soon, and also it gives you the rhythm. So the clap is actually number 4. So it's not like half a second later or 2 seconds later.
And then we'll just carry on. Yeah, I'm with you.
See what I mean? It's like you do 3, 2, 1,
yeah.
Clap.
Okay. Ready?
Okay, I want to do it again. Okay. 3, 2, 1, clap.
There you go. Welcome. You are listening to the Manky Boutique. Ugh. Ah, sugar.